Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me again on the Tales of Recovery podcast. Betsy Palatin is my guest today. She's an amazing movement and breath instructor that I met while at a retreat with Gabor Mate. She is a dancer and moved on. Well, you'll hear her story as she talks about it here on the podcast, but I am so excited. This interview was almost like therapy for me, and I really, really hope that you guys will enjoy it. Well, welcome, Betsy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah. So before I start asking you to tell us about how you got to this amazing work that you're doing, I'll just briefly say how I met you or how I heard. You know, I did a retreat with you and Gabor Mate during the COVID times. It was an online thing. And it blew my mind. I think it was like 4 or 5 days, and I actually was like, I got sick afterwards. It was so intense.
Right. Yes. Know? Brings up.
My goodness. But one of the things I realized is Gabor would teach, and then you would come in and do these exercises that were very slow. And I was like, what is she doing? Like, I don't get it. But then I just, I stayed with it, and I realized, oh my gosh, I can breathe better after this. And my body would settle. Right. And I was like, I got to get more of this. And I started to, follow you, and you kept coming up with all these other really cool teachers. And then I met you at this last trauma and somatic conference. I was like, oh my gosh. And the teaching that you did there was also phenomenal. And I don't know if it's because I've been doing somatic stuff and trauma-informed stuff that I'm somehow get it now, but anyway, that's sort of how I got to know about your work. And I, when I do retreats, when I'm teaching stuff, I always bring in your work because it's so helpful.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. You know, and a lot of it, in a way, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
We think like, oh, why would I need to bother to do that? You know, but then when we do it, it's like, oh, we get touched inside. Yeah. And simple can be pretty powerful.
Yeah. And so most of the, I have all these questions for you. The biggest thing for me has been I've learned through your work how to be in my expanded self.
Yes.
Like this body that can hold, the present moment without me being tripping out on what's happened before or this and that. So, but I know if you want to just sort of tell us how you got to come up with this technique that's so simple yet so powerful.
Let me just think for a minute how far back to go to start, let me do this way. When I was younger, I was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I took a choreography class. I was young. It was more than 50 years ago, I decided to take a choreography class. And for those who don't know, that's where you learn to make up dances.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to take this class. I say happened to take this class with a man named Albert Pesso. And Albert Pesso is the developer of psychomotor therapy, which is a body-based therapy. But 50 years ago, he hadn't developed his technique, but he was developing it on us in the class.
Right.
So he would have us do certain movements with our body, and then the other person would say how that affected them. So somebody would stand with their arms, open in front like that, and you had to say how you felt. And, somebody puts their arms out like that, and some people were like, oh, how sweet. And other people just cried because they never felt that or had experiences of that. So on some level for me, it was so long ago, and yet it colored everything I do, since then.
Right.
because it was in my first experience in a conscious way of how our body movements affect our emotions.
Right.
And so I was a dancer in New York City, and I enjoyed movement a lot, but I soon enjoyed more understanding how to move in a healthy way, because, you know, dancers get injured a lot, you
Yeah.
know? So it became interesting to me how to not get injured. And so I stayed with that for a while. That led me to the Alexander technique. And I was, you know, trained in that, you know, 40 years ago. And that's very effective work. And I was working a lot with performers. And so I started to do a lot with breathing and understand, because I would be working with performer who, you know, on stage, it's like, oh, that person's a really good singer. Behind a closed door, it would be like, I don't know how to breathe, you know? So I had to sort all that out. And then I would still be working with people. And some people, say, had like a lower back pain. And some people that I would work with, that in the course of a few weeks or a few months, their back pain would get better. You know, they would feel better and it would be finished. And other people didn't get better. And so I'm like, what am I missing? Why is this working here but not working there? And so I started, you know, looking around. And in the late 90s, I read Waking the Tiger, which was Peter Levine's first book on trauma. And it was like, trauma? Oh, like, could that be the reason this person has back pain from some incident that happened to them when they were 5 years old as a kid? And when I found out that, yeah, that could be what's happening here, I was like, whoa, okay, I have to sort this out. So that's my journey. And then, you know, then starting to work with Gabor Mate and his beautiful understanding and clarity on how, basically how we're put together, you
yeah.
know, or not put together, you know, so all of that just, and I combined it all in, you know, my latest book, Humanual, which is, as you quoted, the, and yes, perfect. And, perfect, perfect. An epic journey to your expanded self. That's it. We just tend to, you know, myself included, it's like I'm making my life smaller, and like there's more possibility for all of us on so many levels. So that's exciting.
So, well, first of all, real quick, what is the Alexander technique? Is that like also a dancing modality?
Dancers do it. It's sort of made for anybody. If we look at when you see children move, you know, children that are born healthy, they move with ease and freedom, and, you know, and yet as adults, we don't see that same freedom. So the Alexander technique helps you move with more ease, or to do whatever you do in an easier way. And it's more about how our body is designed to move. And when we move in a way that suits us, everything's fine. When we don't do that, it's not fine.
Right.
But then, see, the reason the trauma work came in is because not just fixing how someone moves, but why do they move that way?
Right.
So
Yeah.
that's kind of the progression that led me to do what I do.
Right, to figure it out. Yeah, because I was listening to a podcast. You were talking about the Alexander technique and the body, and or something about the body, and I thought, you know, I've always been very aware of my body.
Yes.
Right? Very aware. Well, you know, lots of exercise, lots of yoga. I also had a mother who was like, stand up straight. And but I was,
Now, just let me comment on that.
yeah.
You say the whole stand up straight thing. It's like we can talk about that because how you stand up straight makes a difference.
Right. Yes. Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I did hear that and I thought, no wonder, because see, my mom died about 4 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. And she was very sick for like maybe the last 7 years and lots of pain. And it was a pretty horrible. I mean, we were with her, it was beautiful, and we helped her walk her way home. But the point I'm making is she was always, always stoic, standing up straight. But it was a forced standing up straight. Not until she had a stroke and a year and a half before she left, she was like, I don't give a shit. Why did I always stand up straight? Oh my God, and stick in your stomach and blah, blah, blah. You know, because the training that she got. And I was like, yeah, you know, so it's not just let me force my body, which is a point I was going to make. I've been aware of my body, but not connected like I've been the past 4 years. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah.
That's so touching when you say that, because we can force ourselves to do all kinds of things, but when we actually listen,
Right.
that's just a different story.
Mm.
And to be able to be willing to face whatever that is.
Right.
That's where the simplicity stuff comes in. It's very simple to pay attention, but how you do it
Yeah.
really makes a difference.
And I think, you know, I guess a lot of us are kind of scared to go pay attention, right? Because
Exactly.
what am I going to find out? Or, yeah.
Yes, I laugh, but I don't really laugh, because it's not really funny. But we all do it, so it's funny in that sense. But because, when we're younger and these overwhelming incidents happen, and there's really no one or no place to turn to help us with it, we just sort of stuff the emotions down. And then that makes so much pain in our bodies that who wants to pay attention to the pain? We don't. So we just don't pay attention to it. And then when we go back to say, oh, well, just feel your body, it's like you can't just feel your body. You have to do it in stages and steps and carefully and compassionately and with care.
Yeah, compassionately, for sure. So could you talk a little bit about the whole standing up straight versus actually being supported?
Because that's such a I'm glad you brought it up because that's such a part of modern culture, stand up straight, like this military type style of, lift your chest, pull your shoulders back and hold all that to be here. And yet when you really look at it, for one, this sort of lift here, if you really lift and sort of push forward here, the question is, what are you doing in your back? Again, we have a holistic viewpoint, you're compressing your back. You're pulling your back tight to make this open. And it's like your system is not going to like that for very long, which is why most people stand up straight and then, few seconds later, end up back down here. It's like, how did I get here? Oh, I better do that again. And then, they live in that cycle. And so that kind of tells us right away that it's not working. It's not giving you what you want, which is some kind of uprightness. So is it okay to do something experiential?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So the way that is more effective and long lasting to find your uprightness would be to start at the ground. So pay attention to your feet and whatever's under you. So if you're sitting, it's your feet on the ground and your hips on the chair. And so as you pay attention to what's under you, and just see what happens with that for a moment. And then if you realize that, we live in a gravitational field, so the force of gravity is coming this way, the earth is spinning, gives off a centrifugal force this way, so we have this and we have this. So underneath us, the planet is giving us a bit of this. So in this moment, if you recognize that whatever is under you is supporting you, what happens with that?
It's almost like I felt my whole weight go to the bottom, like a weight,
Yes.
gravitational, like a force holding me up.
Yes. And then underneath, you get that contact or that heaviness gets lifted
Yeah.
or supported. I like to call it support.
It's like the standing up straight came from the bottom versus me just holding it up.
Yes, exactly. So standing up straight or uprightness is something that we receive. It's not something that we paste on. So
Oh.
when I pay attention to the ground and my ankles are free enough to receive support, my knees free enough to receive the support coming up, my hip joints free enough, and my torso, supported by the chair, free enough to come up, and my breath, my chest, free enough, and then my head supported from the ground, and then looking around the room, what does my space look like? I'm orienting now in a little bit of a different way. Look around the room from that place of support.
So soothing. I'm like
Exactly.
so soothing versus running around gripping,
Yeah.
can
Yeah.
you
And you
explain?
can have that. Anybody can have that whenever they want.
Yeah.
It's free. You don't have to, do something or pay somebody or put on gym clothes and go to the gym. You just pay attention to it. It's there all the time. You just pay attention to the ground and the support, and it's yours. It's
So
very beautiful.
now that you say that, I wonder how somebody that has a lot of trauma in their body
Perfect.
is able to do this, because some people might be like, oh yeah, easy for you to say, feel your feet, where I'm like, they're like trying to move and wiggle out of it.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely true. So, what I would say is, a couple of different things. One is, if you can just bring your attention to your feet for step one, and some people can't even do that, like you say, but if you can, okay, so you can't do what I'm asking you to do. What do you feel? What is happening there? And we work with what is happening. Or if, like, we're talking support coming up and ankles be free. Okay, my ankles are good. Now your knees. Oh, my knees will don't want to let go. Okay, let's stay with that. What's happening in your knees or wherever it is? Whatever the comment of I can't do this or that, we know that every behavior is had a reason, had a good reason. So, okay, you feel like all okay, like what's happening with that? You're all over the place. What's happening with that? What is that movement doing for you?
All right.
And start to be willing to look at it and understand it and have compassion for it. This is what I need to do. We don't make anything up. Nothing is random. So if we're willing to pay attention to what it is, we just follow those steps.
Lines, yeah. Follow the sensations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, maybe before I ask this, can you explain? So you were just talking about how the gravitational force and the forces from the earth, and you said, you know, you moved your hands, and some people will watch the video, but a lot of my listeners are just audio. So just so that you guys can know,
sure.
She was putting her hand from the bottom up and then the bottom hand up to meet in the middle. Right.
Yes.
Could you explain about this and this gravitational force? Because I heard you say, I would always teach when I would do my mindfulness classes or whatever, we're being held by gravity. But I heard you say that that's not the case. Right? There's different forces.
Yes. 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 Because we have gravity and we have anti-gravity. So gravity comes from above down toward the planet. And anti-gravity is from the earth spinning, which puts a centrifugal force from the planet upward toward the sky. So we have a force coming from the sky to the planet, and we have another force going from the planet to the sky. And we live in the middle there. And actually, if you're interested, you can look up, it's actually called the ground reaction force, GRF. And the ground reaction force says, this is a physics thing. The ground reaction force says that as much weight as you give to the planet, the Earth under you, the Earth matches that and gives it back to you, the ground reaction force. So as much action as you put toward the Earth will meet that in a reaction. You can see it in when you run, you know, you touch the ground and you just kind of bounce off. You know, it's called the ground reaction force. But we can have it just sitting. It's like, I'm putting my weight into the chair. The chair says, oh, here's the weight. I'm going to match it. It's amazing when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, even thinking about, you said, okay, the earth is spinning. And
yes.
So this force is kind of like, I don't know if it's the same as, I don't know if you've ever been to those, oh my God, those carnival games where you get into.
Yeah. Amusement. Yes.
And you're just sticking to the back going, why did I get in this?
Exactly. Yeah. The one I used to, it was called the Rota, ROTA or something like that. And it spins and the floor goes and you just like spread out on the wall. That's centrifugal force. Yes. It's very powerful. And I mean, you know, from astronomy or astrology, we know that the planet's moving a lot, you know, we don't feel it, but that doesn't mean just because we don't feel something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. That's for sure.
That is not happening. So this is a force that kind of keeps you on the, or presses you up, and then the gravitational force keeps you on the ground.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. One puts you on the ground and the other lifts you off the ground. But that turns out to be a balance. And we know that trauma knocks us off our balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you were asking before. What about somebody who has trauma? Somebody who has had, you know, a difficult series of overwhelming incidents, and there was nobody there to support them. They didn't have that support. We can bring in the support of the planet to help restore a kind of rhythm, well-being, and balance.
Yeah.
And that's a way, that's my way actually of helping people through their traumatic past.
To feel the support of the earth. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I started to work with in the sweat lodges in Temazcal, and it really felt like so connected, so grounded, very happy. Like I'd be in there,
Yes.
I'm like, I feel like a kid that I can play, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's when you just did that, you know, it's like there's no, the holdings are not there. You know, it's the freedom of movement. And that's where we want to live. That's the ease of movement or the flow of life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like I had to, you know, I had a difficult story with my mom. And
Yes.
It wasn't until I realized, okay, the true mother is Earth, because this is where I'm getting my support. This is where I'm feeling like I don't have any restrictions. This is where I feel held. You know, I would
Right. That's
lay down on the
exactly it.
sand and be like, oh, I'm in the sand.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And especially for people, you know, who were born and their parent, you know, say the mother's, you know, holding the baby. And if the mother was, you know, on their phone or cooking dinner or doing a million things, you know, which modern mothers are, then the baby doesn't feel supported, like held. And so the translation for that is, I have to hold myself up. And then that pattern, I mean, it can start so early when we're not really held.
Yeah.
You know, through no fault of the parent, but it's just life is stressful these days. And so that I'm not held means I have to hold myself up instead of I can let go and receive support. It's a very different idea.
Yeah. So what does it look like as you keep, like, say you're not held and then the stress continues, right? Because it's not like all of a sudden, I mean, unless the mom, the trauma.
It doesn't. Yeah. Unless it's, you deal with it, especially on the somatic level, it doesn't go away. And it actually, later in life, I think it translates into, and we all know people like this, including maybe ourselves, is that I have to do the feeling of I have to do everything myself.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I have to hold myself up. I have to do everything myself. You know, this needs to be done. Oh no, they're going to do it wrong. I need to do it. And it's kind of that holding on, you know, so it doesn't really let go into the flow that you were just talking about until you actually address it, which, you know, in Hugh Manuel, I have a lot of different explorations that help people, like, oh, this is what I'm doing. Because most of us don't really realize until you start to realize what you're doing, you know.
Yeah,
Like you said, you know.
I'll be driving and then notice, like, why am I gripping onto the wheel? Like, I'm, you know, it's like, bro, you're just going, like,
right.
Catch myself. Oh, my jaw,
Exactly.
It's tight. You know, it's like, okay, what's happening? You know, it's not.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, this is one of the things that came up in that retreat with Hugh and Gabor that I remembered, like, you know, my mom tells a story. I was born in Mexico City in
Okay.
1969. And so
Okay.
she was in, it was a hospitalized birth. She was completely asleep.
Right.
And of course, if she was asleep, I'm assuming, well, they took me out, you know, they suck you out or however, and then they
Yes.
take you to the nursery and somebody else gives you a bottle whenever they're ready. So, and then she wasn't nursing because she said, well, it just wasn't the thing.
Right. It's true. Yeah. We're a product of the times. Yeah. It just wasn't the thing at that time.
So many things. But yet what?
But yet for the biology of the baby, you know, of course it's a thing, you know, but then we deal with from the beginning, not having what the biology is expecting. because we have what's called a biological expectations. The biology expects the parent to be there when you're born, the mother and the breast and the, you know, that kind of thing, and the bodily contact. That's a biological expectation. And yet it doesn't always happen. And does that mean your life can't go on? No, of course not. You know, we manage. And yet something can show up any time in life when, you know, later in life, when, you know, somebody touches you or you feel, you know, or the food, oh, this doesn't taste right. You know, I mean, it can show up in any realm. And we manage, but sometimes it's kind of important to recognize, oh, okay, so then when I was born, I wasn't touched or held. What if I really touch myself? What if I give myself that? And it's interesting that the nervous system is so, has the plasticity that we can do that. It's very interesting. There's a sort of funny line that says, it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
Oh yeah. I need to tattoo that on my arm.
Yes, all of us, you know. And so we can, you know, we can sort of take care of what didn't get taken care of.
Yeah, which is a lot of the work that, yeah, that you and Gabor and Peter and all those amazing teachers have sort of laid out. What I've relearned, right? Like reparenting, retaking care. So,
Right.
this is why I think you came right at the right time when I was already into figuring this out. But the support that you give through this, I think just the information of like the grounding reaction force, the way that you can be held with the body, the way that we are trained sort of like as an appropriate response to be constricted because, well, you had to because either, mom or grandma were coming to pinch your shoulder to stand up straight or,
Right. And yet your shoulders are saying, I don't want to do that.
Oh.
You know, so
I'm
there's this
scared.
conflict. Yeah. Right. But that's, you know, that's what we call the adaptive pattern. You adapt. You had to, you and everybody else, including me, had to adapt to the tribe that we were born into. Because if you didn't agree to it, you'd be thrown out, and that would mean death. So these adaptive patterns are strong because if you didn't do what kept you in the tribe, or, you know, if you said to your mother, no, I'm not pulling my shoulders back, heaven knows what would have happened.
Yeah, I
Right?
wouldn't have thought that occurred.
Exactly. But it wouldn't go well. So
No.
you do what is necessary to keep in line to stay in your tribe. And then, you know, years later when you're on your own, it's like, wait a minute, do I really want to do that? Is that really me doing that? Or is that somebody else having me do that? And my body really doesn't want to do that. And then, you know, you start to sort that stuff out. But it's all available to us.
It is. It is. And I think I really appreciate how you always talk about how it's so simple. I didn't think it was simple, but now I realize it actually is. It's just this fear, this once you get past this, like, okay. Or at least for me, it's very helpful to understand that it was an adaptive pattern and that I'm not a hot mess, that I'm broken or that I need to get fixed. It's just my intelligent little body was taking good care of itself.
Absolutely.
And now
Absolutely.
I would always tell my mom, like, I'm leaving the cult. I'm out of your, this is just ridiculous, but it was a way for me to step out of having to do what they say and find my own way and do, soften into my body.
Right.
So,
yeah. And then it's so beautiful when you do that. And then with that softening, then you come in touch with whatever, you know, needs or wants to be expressed.
Yeah, for sure.
That's love. That's really lovely. And that's beautiful because that's who you are. And also, you know, even, you know, these talks, these podcasts that you're doing is such a gift to people that you're passing on or expressing your own journey and letting others know that, you know, you can have some of this also, you know, that's lovely that you're not just keeping the information for yourself, like, oh, great, I've changed, you know, that's wonderful. But to pass it on is also very, very, very kind and lovely. So I appreciate you for that.
Oh, thank you. That's why I really wanted you to come on here, because a lot of my listeners are, you know, Latin women or Mexican women. And I grew up in the border, and I always had like my Mexican friends and then my United States friends. And there was so much more freedom in the United States. Like, I could talk about ideas, go out. There wasn't that much supervision. It was like, oh, so liberating. And then I would go home to this constrictive, like, you have to be careful what people are going to say and stand up straight and close your legs and don't, you know. So it was like,
right,
at the same time, lots of partying and laughter and
yeah,
lots of eating.
Yeah.
I always like to remember that there's a little bit of both, but it's been really, really well received. A lot of these Mexican ladies, like, I can't believe you're saying what you're saying, because I feel that. And my mom doesn't get it. And it's like, I feel like I'm being a traitor to this tribe if I actually decide that I'm going to do things differently or set these boundaries or listen to my body. So yeah.
And if we look at it a little closer, if I may, it's like, your parents were wanting the best for you by trying to make you into something that would be acceptable, you know, in the United States or something. You know what I mean? So it wasn't because, you know, I've been to Mexico. I have some Mexican friends. It's like, they're very free and, you know, but this sort of imposing, like, no, you better, you know, do this so you can fit in kind of thing, it, you know, is it, even that is just, it's just not even true, you know, but it's done, you know. It's like, I've, you know, had some people from underserved populations, even in the United States, and, you know, their parents would say, well, you need to work twice as hard as all the sort of white American kids to get ahead, you know. And it's terrible that that's done that way, you know, because different people, different cultures have different things to offer. And let's make that valuable also, you know. But that's a longer story. So
thank you saying that. Yeah. And it was also, you know, it's like, I do also see that, yeah, they were trying to do their best. And that's kind of what they got as well, you know. Even us, I think, you know, they lightened up a little bit with us. And so I want to ask you, we kind of went the other way, but to go back to this grounding reaction force, I heard you mention, because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to ground, I'm going to sit in the ground, and I'm going to do this grounding. But you've mentioned the difference between grounding and then the actual meeting of both forces to feel more expanded.
Yes. Yeah, this is I'm glad you were asking this, because this is really an important piece, is to not translate the idea of support into, oh yeah, grounding, I know how to do grounding. Because from my experience, most people, when they do what's called grounding, it looks like kind of grinding themselves into the ground. And they're just doing the part where you go down and you go down to the ground. And my idea of support is not to go down to the ground to go down, but it's to go down to the ground to receive the upward possibility from the planet. And that's very different. The two things are very different because one just has the down and the other has the down and the up, which is the heaven and earth, which is the larger picture of, you know, the divine life that we all are entitled to. So,
yeah,
so it's a different idea.
I love how you mentioned, like, it's almost like the spiritual experience.
It is.
Not religious. It's just like, to me, it's like this mystery of how in the heck are we here when this rock flying in the middle of the ocean, turning around and no one's falling off, and we get to hug other people and, you know, go to the ocean and eat ice cream and what?
I love what you just said. No one's falling off.
Right? It's holding you.
I love that. No one's falling off. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And it's really true. People fall a little bit, but no one's falling totally off. Yeah. And I mean, it is a life. Life includes a spiritual experience. Life is, you know, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, cosmic. It's life has all layers to it. And you can pay attention to what you want, but all the layers are there. Like you say, even, you know, being born is like a miracle. You know, the whole thing and how we grow, it's like, it's all a miracle. So you can see it or you could not see it. Either way is fine, but it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah. Would you say that, you know, I grew up, there was pretty religious in Mexico, this Catholic thing. And I always thought it was like, this is just not making sense, not making sense.
Right.
When I began to make sense of spirit, it was through my body. I was either dancing or, you know.
That's exactly it. I have a chapter in Humanual that says the way out of your body is through your body. You know, if you want to have a spiritual experience that's really connected to the planet, you go into your body, and then it's just the openings are magnificently possible. Like you say, dancing, you know, just like all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you just feel this larger something that's great to feel. And why don't you know, of course you want to feel it.
Right. Yes. That's like the whole point, I guess. Showing up.
Exactly.
There's another thing you mentioned it in one of the, I don't know if it was your book or the podcast, that something about when we're talking about the centrifugal force, that it's, you said something about, imagine a wet tennis ball.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I did write that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you spin it, when you spin a wet tennis ball, the water flies off. And that's the upward force that we feel.
And you mentioned that all of that is going through you.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I got to ask you. So is it such a good visual of like this whole quantum energy thing that we don't really, we're barely beginning to say, okay, it's not woo-woo anymore because now there's all this science.
Yeah, it's not woo-woo anymore. I mean, it never was, but of course it was, you know. But it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty, the quantum physics thing and all that, it's all like, oh, wow, this is really happening.
So
because like when you spin that tennis ball, when tennis ball is wet and you spin it, the water just comes off. And that's the same as the planet spinning. Us as the water drops are just, you know, receiving this, that energy.
Yeah, I almost visualized it like the water is like, it's invisible, but as you're walking, it's going through you. It's passing through you. It's like you can almost, if you're aware of it, take
Absolutely. Yeah.
Part of it and
Yeah.
like move with
Yeah.
it, which is that part of, and you talk about a lot, the expanded self. Can you just maybe talk a
Yeah.
little bit about?
Well, that's part of the expanded self, in that, when life comes along, which it does, this to us, and in the physicality, in all the different realms. So in the physical, somebody, either a car accident or somebody hit me or whatever, or there was a person here that was, I'm gonna do that, so the physicality makes me smaller. And unless I realize that once that's over, that I can go back to being expanded. That's in the physical. And then in the mental, the thoughts, one of the things that, when children, well, we can use your example, your mom tells you this or that. So your mom keeps telling you to be a certain way. Part of the translation of that is, well, I'm not okay the way I am because I have to keep being someplace, something else. So this mental message of I'm not okay the way I am stays until I realize, wait a minute, I am okay the way I am, And then, so that's the mental, and emotional can be, when I was a kid, I was bullied at school, so I'm angry about that, and then you just stay angry, which of course you should be, but then it's over and you're still angry. So again, your emotional state is limited. You can't experience joy in the same way. So you want the expanded self of the emotion of, all the different levels that we experience has potential to open a little bit. And that's the expanded self. And I call it an epic journey because it's huge. Like you said, when you first heard my work, it was like, what? I can't, what? That's that, but then it's like, oh, okay. It's epic to really come in touch with yourself and pay attention and do something. It is an epic journey. I still stand by that. People say, oh, it's not a, I think it's an epic journey to pay attention to yourself.
Yes, and it was a big relief.
Yes.
It was
See,
like
that's what tells you that it's right.
relief.
Relief, because relief means there's a breath. And anytime there's more breath, it's soothing to us.
It's healing. There's a quote
Healing.
I want to read from one of your books, and then in minding the time, if you want to comment on it, or it just says, not only is it necessary to heal, but how you move is crucial to healing and not having to repeat the same pattern. If you continue to neglect connecting your feet to the ground, you will continue to feel that you need to hold yourself up, that you said about the baby. And
Right. Yeah.
as you hold yourself up, you will feel like you need to do it all. Instead, you can realize that you're held by the earth, and that the life force is coursing within and around you to help you feel supported as you relate to others and your own expanded self. I love that.
Me too. I'm thinking, wow, who wrote that? That's great.
It is.
Even like when I read look at my own books, I think like, oh yeah, I gotta do more of that. I gotta do more of that too, So it's never ending, It's not like, oh yeah, I got support, done. It's like all in each moment because life comes along and knocks us and pushes us and, all of that. But I love the idea in that phrase of, the life force coursing through us, because that's, that sort of touches on the spiritual that we just talked about. And it's also very practical and down to earth that we have energy to do what we need to do in life, to get up and go to work or do whatever we do. You know, you need your life force. And if it's busy fighting off the overwhelm or trauma that happened, then it's not contributing to you moving forward in life.
Right.
And that's, you know, we all have something that we're here for. And the more you can do that, the more inside feels like, okay.
Yeah. And you're not walking around depressed or, you know.
Yeah. Although we all have moments of that, you know, that's normal. You know, things don't go, I didn't get the job I wanted. That stinks, you know, or the relationship breaks up, you know, that's hard for all of us. But, you know, we move on.
We move on. Yeah. The resilience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much. I could sit here for 2 more hours asking you questions, but I know it's, maybe you can come back in a couple of months if you have time to talk about other things. It's
sure, we'll do that. Yeah. It's absolutely a pleasure to speak with you because you've so much embodied, you know, what you're talking about. And you're coming from a place where you genuinely have helped yourself and you want to help others, and that's really very beautiful. So I appreciate I appreciate
thank
you.
you. Yeah, it's been a lot of work, but
I know, believe me, I know.
Yeah,
yeah
but it's
but what else can one do, you know?
If you, I'm just on the road to liberation, you just got to do it. So I'm grateful very much for your work, you know, and for so many teachers, but I really appreciate the whole embodiment, because I'm always like, you got to be embodied. If I'm not embodied, but then when I started to connect more, and you were, you know, into just realizing it's not up in my head, it's not these ideas, is when you can soften and relax that it's like, oh, it's not that difficult.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, that's an interesting piece. It's always like people say, oh, I can't do that. Or I can't. No. But once you enter into it, it's never as bad as you thought it was going to be.
I think it's part of the design, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, the patterns were survival patterns. So you don't want to, if you think something that you're doing is allowing you to survive, why would you not do it? You wouldn't. You have to keep doing it until you realize you don't have to keep doing it.
Right. Yeah. And train it back around. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Pues muchas gracias, Betsy. Thank you so much.
You. Muchas gracias to you. And thank you to you and all of your wonderful listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Tales of Recovery. And we'll see you next time.